Today is day 9 of our total consecration preparation. We'll look at Mary as the Immaculate Conception. Stay tuned because it's coming right up. Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? That's what we're going to talk about on the program today. Welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to have you with me here on this Saturday. For the next 30 minutes, we're going to look at part one of St. Maximilian Kolbe's idea about the Blessed Mother being the Immaculate Conception. Sounds a little confusing, as I mentioned on the program yesterday. We normally think of Mary as being immaculately conceived. But when she appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes, she referred to herself as the Immaculate Conception. We'll talk about what that means in a few minutes. I also want to mention the fact that today we celebrate the optional memorial of the Most Holy Name of Mary. And from the Roman Missal, here's what we hear. God the Father is glorified by the exalted role of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Thus her name is a name of honor to be venerated and called upon with trust and devotion. So we call upon Mary today as we continue our journey toward total consecration on October the 7th. And as I said at the beginning of the program, it's day 9 already, believe it or not. So we are well along on our journey, but we still have a lot of time to go. Let's remember that the Blessed Mother is right here with us. She's helping us as we try to learn more about her for the purpose of growing closer to her son, Jesus. That's why we're doing all this. We're trying to grow closer to Jesus. Now, at the end of the program, after we get done the material for day 9 of total consecration preparation, I'm going to read the daily mass readings today. And here I'm going to challenge you too, because I think this is a good exercise for us. You hear me say many times that the reason that I like to feature scripture on this program is because it is God's words to us. And that's what our church teaches, that when we open the Bible, God speaks to us. Well, I think for many of us, we forget that, or we have a hard time really focusing on what God is saying to us. So here's what I'd like to challenge you to today. Just what you didn't need a challenge on Saturday, right? But I think you're going to like this one. I want you to ask the Lord. Now, we've been given another day. We're here. Obviously, we're alive. The Lord has something for us to do today. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you today? Now, that's a scary thing, isn't it? It's a scary question. But one of the reasons that we try to become holy is so that we could start to live not for ourselves, but for others. And one of the best ways to do that is to ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? You know, he hears a lot from us about what he can do for us, about our needs, and that's good. He wants us to give him our needs. But how many times do we actually say, Lord, what can we do for you today? What is it that I can do for you today? So here's what I challenge you to do. As we go through these readings, and we're going to do them again in probably the last 10 minutes of the show, I want you to ask the Lord, what can I do for you, Lord, today? And listen for that answer in the first reading, in the psalm, and in the gospel. Just pick one thing out of each reading. Because sometimes we overcomplicate sacred scripture and we want to understand every last detail. And that's not going to come all at once. And we become frustrated. And as a result, what can happen is we just completely let it go in one ear and out the other. But let's really let the Lord speak to us, because he does speak through his church. And let's ask that specific question today. Lord, what can I do for you? And as we go through the readings, I'll share what I'm getting. And then you let the Lord speak to you. You might be getting something completely different. But I think that's a great way to approach these readings so that we really can hear the Lord speak to us. Okay? Let's pray, and then we'll get right into the material for today. Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us another day. Please let us know what it is that we can do for you this day. Help us to have a greater desire to serve you by serving others rather than be served ourselves. Help us learn about you through your son Jesus, and help us better appreciate the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our lives. We realize then that when we honor her, we give glory to you, and to your son Jesus, and to the Holy Spirit who was her spouse. We ask you, Father, to bless us and our friends, our families. Help us to be a light shining in the darkness, and give us the courage and the strength that we need to persevere in proclaiming the good news even when it isn't popular. I ask you, Father, to speak through me on the program today. And please open our minds and our hearts to hear your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now on this day when we celebrate the most holy name of Mary, we turn to Our Lady and we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. And Saint Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm glad you could hang out with me this Saturday. And remember, we're going to be here Sunday as well. But I want to let you know one thing about Sunday. My family and I have something to do earlier in the day. I might be a little delayed in getting the show to you tomorrow. I normally like to get it up around noon. I like to load the podcast up somewhere around noon on Sunday. It might be a little later tomorrow, so just be patient. Know that there will be a show coming tomorrow, but it might be a little late. But it's coming, so relax and just look for it, and it will be there probably in the afternoon sometime. And that'll be day 10, believe it or not. So today we're going to focus on day 9. And as usual, if you have questions about anything that we discuss, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'm a little behind on the emails, so if you emailed me over the past few days, understand that I'm a day or so behind. I'm going to try to catch up on those over the weekend if I can. Thanks for your patience. Today's beverage du jour is a nice big glass of water. It's a little overcast today, but relatively nice day here in southern New Jersey. I have the window open, so I think I hear some crickets out there. You might hear some noise drifting in through the window, but it's a relatively nice day, so I figured I would open the window as we do this program. Take a sip of my water, and let's get started. Who are you, Immaculate, O Immaculate Conception, Part 1? Obviously, we'll do Part 1 today. We'll do Part 2 tomorrow. Father Gately writes, yesterday when I mentioned St. Maximilian's arrest by the Gestapo, I left out a remarkable detail that will be important for today's reflection. 2 hours before his arrest, the future saint penned the single most important theological reflection of his life. It was nothing less than the answer that had eluded him for so many years, the answer to the question he had pondered over and over from the earliest days of his religious life. Who are you, O Immaculate Conception? In today's reflection, we'll begin to unpack this remarkable document. But before we do, let's pause and say a silent prayer to the Immaculata, asking for the grace to receive Kolbe's wisdom. So let's do that. Let's pause and let's pray that our Blessed Mother will be able to intercede for us now in order that we can understand St. Maximilian Kolbe's wisdom as expressed in his writings. Pray for us, Blessed Mother. All right. St. Maximilian writes, Immaculate Conception. These words fell from the lips of the Immaculata herself. Hence, they must tell us in the most precise and essential manner who she really is. Who then are you, O Immaculate Conception? Father Gately writes, good question, but still no answer. Later in the document, Kolbe points out a simple but key point. At the apparitions in Lourdes, Mary didn't say to Saint Bernadette, I was immaculately conceived, but rather she said, I am the Immaculate Conception. This seems to be a problem. After all, Mary was immaculately conceived. In other words, through a special grace from God, She was conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, without the stain, without any stain of original sin by the foreseen merits of her son. Briefly, Mary was immaculately conceived, but Mary did need a Savior. It's important that we know that as Catholics, because sometimes we get challenged when someone will read in Mary's prayer known as the Magnificat in Luke chapter 2, Mary refers to God, her Savior. And some well-meaning non-Catholic Christians will say, aha, you Catholics, she couldn't have been immaculately conceived because she needed a Savior. Well, as Catholics, we do believe, and our church teaches, that Mary did need a Savior, but she was saved by a uniquely exceptional privilege in advance, if you will. And remember, God can do whatever he wants, and because Mary had set such a special role, but at the same time she was human, she was redeemed at the moment of her conception, in advance by the Lord. God is not bound by space and time, so he could do that. So just understand, I don't want to go to a lot of detail about that, but know that we as Catholics believe that Mary did need a Savior, and she was completely free of original sin or any kind of sin from the moment of her conception. So there is not a contradiction there. We believe both of those things. Okay, back to Father Gately. So why does she speak so strangely, referring to herself as the Immaculate Conception? Why does she make the grace she received at her conception her very name? Doesn't this almost seem as if she were making herself divine? Clearly, Mary is not God. Kolbe wrestled with this apparent divinity problem for decades, and it led to the following solution. The Immaculate Conception is divine. But the one I'm talking about isn't Mary. It's the Holy Spirit. In other words, Kolbe believed that there are two Immaculate Conceptions, Mary and the Holy Spirit. Mary is the created Immaculate Conception, and the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception. In other words, before there was the created Immaculate Conception, Mary, for all eternity, there is the uncreated Immaculate Conception, the one who for all eternity springs from God the Father and God the Son as an uncreated conception of love, and who is the prototype of all the conceptions that multiply life throughout the whole universe. So the Father begets, the Son is begotten, the Spirit is the conception that springs from their love. And I'm going to pause for a minute and let you know that, yes, we're getting a little deep today. So if you can, read over this. That's why we said a prayer at the beginning of this. This gets a little deep theologically. If you don't grasp it all, that's okay. Remember, what we're trying to do is unlock some of the mystery behind the Marian devotion of these saints. St. Maximilian, Blessed Mother Teresa, St. John Paul II, St. Louis de Montfort. We're going to give you a little taste of it all. You're going to retain what the Holy Spirit wants you to retain. If you don't get something, it doesn't mean you can't make your total consecration, but just pray over this and ask Mary to help you to be able to understand, to intercede for you so that the Holy Spirit can enlighten you to understand a little more deeply what's going on here. So this idea of the Holy Spirit being the uncreated Immaculate Conception and the Holy Spirit is the conception that springs from the love of the Father and the Son. All right, just ponder that. And again, don't get panicked if you can't understand it fully. It's complicated. Back to Father Gately. Now, the Holy Spirit is a conception, and he puts that in quotes, in the sense of being the life and love that springs from the love of the Father and the Son. In some analogous way, there's the conception of children who spring from the love of husband and wife. The Holy Spirit is an immaculate conception, because being God, he is obviously without sin. And finally, the Holy Spirit is an eternal, uncreated conception, because again, He is God. Okay, so this covers Colby's teaching that the Holy Spirit is the Immaculate Conception. But why does Mary call herself by the same name? We'll leave this question for tomorrow. And in closing, I just want to say that here's what you need to take away from this. That Kolbe, St. Maximilian Kolbe, is presenting the idea that the Holy Spirit is the uncreated Immaculate Conception. And that Immaculate Conception springs from the love between the Father and the Son. Just take it at that. Tomorrow we'll explore this a little bit more. And he'll discuss why Mary refers to herself as the Immaculate Conception. But don't get ahead of us here, because we can easily become overwhelmed by trying to understand too much at one time. Let's take one thing at a time. This is today's material. Tomorrow we'll take it to the next level. We'll take it. We'll look at why Mary refers to herself as the Immaculate Conception. Okay, let's close this material with the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, unveil for me the meaning of the Immaculate Conception. Now, you notice what we're doing. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us understand what it is that we just read. And I would recommend that in the process of meditating about this, because that's what we really want to do each day. We want to meditate on the material that we discuss, right? Go over it again. It's only going to take you a few minutes. Read it slowly and just ask the Holy Spirit to help. I think the problem so many times is when we want to understand these theological concepts, we try to do it on our own. And really, so many of these concepts are too deep for us to understand on our own. That's okay. That's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what he wants you to understand. And if it's still unclear to you, don't panic, because that's what he wants. It's okay, right? You don't have to understand everything. We just want to do our best to understand what we can as we go through this process. So that's the material for today. Let me know if you have questions. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address, but please don't go anywhere, because here's what I want to do. I want to go through the daily Mass readings, and I want you to ask the Lord, what we're all going to ask the Lord before we start, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? I want to turn this into an action, because obviously if the Lord has us here on this earth for another day, he has a plan for us. He wants us to do something. So I could say, Lord, what do you want me to understand from these readings? But let's take it to the next level. He wants us to do something. So obviously we have to understand before we do. That goes without saying. But if we just say, what do you want me to learn from these readings? We could end up not doing anything. Let's ask him, Lord, what would you like me to do today? Please speak to me through these readings. And you know what? If you start to do this every day, you're going to be able to hear the Lord speak in your life. And don't go for 50 things from each reading. Go for one thing. One takeaway. That's what we used to call it in the business world when I used to be a project manager. We would call it a takeaway. What's the takeaway from this slide or this presentation? And that's what we're going to do today. We want to get one takeaway from each of these. Lord, what do you want me to do today? And then what's the challenging part? And then do it. Do what it is that you feel he's asking you to do. All right? I think we were going to approach the readings from this angle from now on, because I really feel called to help you to understand that God speaks to you through these pages of the Bible. So many times, Catholics, and even non-Catholics, but Catholics have a real hard time with this, because we weren't taught this when we were growing up. We weren't taught, for the most part, that we can hear the Lord speak directly to us from the pages of sacred scripture. We need to understand it, because it's absolutely true. That's what our church believes and always has believed, but for some reason, we don't know it as well as we should. So let's do that now. The first reading today is from the first letter of St. Paul to St. Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do today? Here's your answer. Beloved, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am the foremost. But for that reason, I was mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of all ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. As I was reading this, I decided what I'll do is share with you what I felt the Lord was asking me to do today. And then in the psalm and in the gospel, I'm going to stay silent so that I don't bias I don't want to point you in a certain direction when the Lord might be saying something else to you. So here's what the Lord said to me, just as a way of an example. Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example. That really hit me. And what I heard was, Gary, you need to become more patient. You need to become patient with other people, and you need to become patient with me. This is the Lord speaking, because sometimes I need to take my time with your prayer requests. And I become impatient. That's one of my problems. I do become impatient sometimes with other people or with the Lord because he's not acting fast enough. So what is my response? He's telling me to become more patient. Well, on my own, I know I can't do that. So it's going to be a twofold response. This is what I feel he's asking me to do today. Number one, I'm going to ask for his help. I'm going to say, Lord, can you please help me to be more patient? And you know, if you've got the same problem, that will be one of the fruits of this total consecration, because you're going to be drawn closer to our Lord through that process. And as a result, you'll receive extra graces, including the grace to be patient. So that's the first thing. Lord, please grant me the grace to be patient. Now, we know that Catholic theology teaches that we are granted many graces. If I pray for the grace to be patient, I certainly am going to receive that grace, but I don't have to cooperate with it. In other words, just because the Lord is giving me help to become more patient, I can reject it and I can still get annoyed at people. It's not an automatic thing, even though I wish that it would be, but it doesn't work that way. The Lord wants us to do something. He wants us to do what we can. So the second part of this, in addition to asking for patience, at least according to what I feel he's telling me through this reading, is to say today, and you know, the one day at a time principle is huge. It really is huge when it comes to spiritual life. You want to focus on this one day because it's all we have. We don't know if we'll get tomorrow, so let's worry about today. Let's concentrate on today. What am I going to do today to use the grace that the Lord gives me? And I'm asking him to give me the grace to become more patient, to use that grace to become more patient. I'm going to look at every situation that happens to me, including the prayers that aren't getting answered fast enough, and including the people who try my patience. They're going to come into my life today, and I'm going to call on that grace that the Lord has given me and try to use it to become more patient. In other words, I'm not doing it on my own. He's giving me the grace, but I am going to fight against my temptation to get impatient and to lose my temper or to be short with somebody. That's how I'm going to put this into action. Now, he might have said something different to you, but that's what he gave to me. Let's do the other readings now, and then we'll sum it all up at the end. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 113, blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Praise you, servants of the Lord. Praise you, the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun is the name of the Lord to be praised. High above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, and looks upon the heavens and the earth below? He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Now you just take whatever you got out of that reading, and you put it into practice today. Because remember, you asked the Lord to speak to you. Whatever it is that he told you, try to do that today, one day. Don't concentrate on tomorrow. See if you can do it one day. Let's look at the gospel now. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49. Jesus said to his disciples, "A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit, for every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do what I command? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, listens to my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who listens and does not act is like a person who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, it collapsed at once and was completely destroyed." Good reading, isn't it? And here's what I think. When we look at this gospel reading, when we try to understand what the Lord is saying, and again, what's your takeaway? You might get a different takeaway than this. But in general, what we're doing here with this total consecration is we are building a foundation. We're trying to build a solid foundation. Of course, that foundation is Jesus Christ. That foundation, who will not change. And that foundation is what we will need in order to live a holy life and to one day be able to live with the Lord in heaven. We're going to need a foundation because we will be challenged. You may be being challenged right now, but if not, you're definitely going to see some challenges pop up in your life. Without a solid foundation, you could be in trouble. And we recognize that. That's why we are making this total consecration and turning to our Blessed Mother, Mary, to ask for her help. We're asking for her help so that we're able to endure the many challenges that we face every day in this total consecration. So if you get a chance to read those readings again, you can find them online at the USCCB website, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. I think the Vatican might have them as well, vatican.va. You might have a missal, the Word Among Us, the Magnificat. You might have a daily missal, whatever. Try to read those readings again if you have some time. Giving you a little homework. I know it's the weekend, but I think we're up for it. And try to get one takeaway from each of those things and put that into practice today. Remember, tomorrow, that's not guaranteed. You need to focus on today. And together, if we do this, if we take one day at a time, little by little, we're going to get to where we need to be. And remember also our intent when we make this total consecration. Let's get back to understanding these readings like St. Maximian Kolbe. I think that was our toughest reading so far, today's material. We're going to make the consecration. We make it once, and then we renew it each year. And I'll read you something in the weeks to come from a priest who wrote another book about total consecration. And what he said was, nobody's ever going to make a perfect 33-day preparation. That's why you try to renew it each year, because then you'll dig deeper. Do your best. And although we have nothing guaranteed, let's have the intent that we'll renew this next year. So you do your best this year. It's not going to be perfect. Do the best you can. Ask the Holy Spirit to help, and I think you're going to see it will fall into place. I just don't want you to put excessive pressure on yourself as you go through this. This is a great devotion. Think about what Kolbe said, the Holy Spirit being the uncreated Immaculate Conception. It's really deep. Tomorrow we'll explore the idea of why Mary said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." All right, any questions, you know where to find me, Gary at followingthetruth.com. Remember, tomorrow's show might be an hour or two late, but it will be up probably sometime in the afternoon. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your Saturday. Great to be with you here. And God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.